Everyone just wants to make it a chayim and shul. That's.
You got his chance.
Well, I frankly, I don't know why we have a chayim outside. They're having a table.
No, not in the shul. No, the shul is not for you.
I expect the rabbi probably wouldn't like
it. So you want mechaber? Shul is not for eating.
But it's a
basement. Shul is not for eating. And even for a basement, it's the only people that learn their whole day are supposed to, you know.
Only eat. They can eat?
Yeah. The people, the visitors are not supposed to be eating in a basement, you know, if you don't spend your whole time there. Oh. I wanted to look at a few points in Hilchos Tefillin. There's a general klal in Hilchos Brachos, in Hilchos HaMitzvos, which is defined by the Gemara Pesachim, that Brachos is supposed to be overly asiyasi. And the Gemara brings three proofs that the word over means before. Three psukim. But the word over is used as meaning before. So overly asiyos means the brachos has to be made in a mitzvah before we do it. So the norm is, before we makai mitzvah's esrog, that's why we pick up the esrog upside down, we have in mind not to be yaitze yet, we make the brocha, then we do. We make a brocha on a talis before we put it on. Now on the other hand, it's supposed to be overly asiyos before we do the mitzvah, but it shouldn't be what the place can refer to as over the over, meaning two steps before we proceed the mitzvah is also inappropriate. So it should be in immediate proximity to the mitzvah, just prior to fulfilling the mitzvah, and that's the time that we should make the bracha. So the question is how to fulfill that when it comes to mitzvah tefillin. At what point should I make the bracha? Now, there are a number of different points that suggest themselves, and we have to know at which point we should make the bracha. One point is when I'm holding it in my hand. I took it off the, I unwrapped it, I'm holding it in my hand. And maybe I want to make a bracha that one. It's certainly before the mitzvah. But is it immediately before the mitzvah? And the next step that we're going to do is not yet the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Why do I say that? If I just put the tefillin shayat on my bicep and I don't tie it onto my hand, I don't fulfill the mitzvah. It's not just a question that it has to be sitting on my bicep, but it has to be tied to my bicep. Shartam la'osa yodecho, v'hoyu l'toy tefos b'nenecho. So it has to be tightly attached. So in the shalyad, specifically say, it's shartam la'osa yodecho. It has to be tied. So until we go around, and probably a few times, so that it's stably in place, it's not a kesher yet, it's not tied in place yet. So, at what point is just prior to doing the mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Simen Chav Ches, Sif Ches, Chav Ches, what do I do here? I wrote the wrong one. This is a general klal about brachas, which is found in many places in Chas. Lefikach, tzorach levorach ala tefilo shal yad. Now one must make the bracha on the tefillin shal yad. Achar alachin hanoch ali kibaris. After we put it on the bicep. In kaidem kshirosim, and before we tie it. Shirosam zui asiyosam. This is the maisa mitzvah of the tefillin, is to tie. Achar hanocha, the kaidim lachain, if I would, make the bracha before I actually put it on the bicep. Lechatchila and roil the bracha. Avi koydim the koydim. It's two steps removed. Tzoruch lekarav a bracha lasiyas a mitzvah b'chol mada efsha. And the bracha should be as close to the mitzvah as possible. Koydim kshirosim. Before one ties it, over the eved yivorech afilu acharkach. With the eved, I can make the bracha afterwards. Why? The mitzvah sheyesh lo meshach zman b'chulayim. A mitzvah that endures, doesn't end with a moment, so I can make the bracha at any time. If I didn't make the bracha before I put up the mezuzah on the door, I can make the bracha afterwards, because the bracha is ongoing. If I didn't make a bracha on the tzitzis before I put them on, as long as I'm wearing the tzitzis, I can still make the bracha. So similarly, if I didn't make a bracha on the tefillin, as long as I'm wearing the tefillin, the mitzvah is ongoing and I can make the bracha. But the appropriate time to make the bracha, apparently, is once I put it on the muscle. And basically, I have the ritzu already poised to start going around. At that point, that's immediately prior to the kshira. That's the time that I should make the bracha. So I should put it on the bicep. Pull it tight. Still not tied on. If I let go, it's just going to flop off. At that point, make the bracha, then start going around. Now, it's interesting, there are different minhagim in the going around. According to the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, one goes around until it's securely in place, one stops at that point, and one puts on the Shel Rosh, makes the bracha. We'll come back in a moment how to make the bracha on the Shel Rosh, and after that one finishes winding the rest of the way around the arm. The cheshbon being that whether you make one bracha on tefillin, as we'll examine, or two brachas on tefillin, but the bracha of Lahaniach definitely carries over to the Shel Rosh. Those that make one bracha, there's one bracha on both. Those that make two brachas, it's that the Shel Rosh has two brachas, the Lahaniach and the Al Mitzvahs. So that bracha is going forward onto the Shel Rosh too. So the question then is, well, I have the same cheshbon. It has to be over Liyasios. That means I should try to get the bracha as close as possible as I can to the doing the mitzvah. So, since the tying of the Shel Yad in the halacha is, since it says Ukshartam Laos Ayadecha Boyle Toitof is Ben Anecha, that I first have to put on the Shel Yad before I put on a Shel Rosh. But once I fulfill the mitzvah of Shel Yad, it's tied. I went around a few times and now it's tied. So this is extra credit. It's just a minuk. The rest of the times that we wind around after that. The six, the seven, what are each one according to that minuk, how it works. So the svara would be that, listen, the mitzvah is fulfilled. So if the mitzvah is fulfilled, why should I make a hefsik with an extraneous matter, with a minuk ba'alma, before I actually fulfill the mitzvah of the Shel Rosh? So that's the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, that after you put on the Shel Yad, then you put on the Shel Rosh. Now, that's in Sif Yud Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Achar sheyichroich, achar shekosher shel yad al azroya. Once it's tied, yaniach shel rosh. Put on the koydim sheyichroich haretzu asaviv azroa. Before you keep winding around the arm." So. Atam came with Shabrichas Aliyah Chazeres Gamal Shel Rosh. Koshik in the Mechaber, there's only one bracha, or can you might have some Chomash Yuchal? Vakrichas of Zoyen Amikra did. You don't have to walk in Tobla Acharei Sachini of Shel Rosh. And the Arizal wrote that the seven times around the arm, not the time around the fingers, but the seven times around the arm, which is our general practice, that we should make the bracha. I'm rather we should do all of them before we put on the Shel Rosh, because he holds that's part of the mitzvah. It may not be the kuva, but it certainly is part of the mitzvah according to the Arizal. And as the Chofetz Chaim writes, this is the general minhag. Now I don't understand. But I am a tshuvas mishkan as Yankov, which should die to gamkin kumenogin olichruch kodom. I don't know why you have to put them all on. And as he says, if you hear that they're starting to say Kaddish in the middle of putting on the Shal Yad, so don't go all the way around, go around enough times that it'll stay put, and then put on the Shal Rosh. And after the answer for Kaddish and Kaddush, then you'll finish it. So I'm not sure why the Mishkan Yaakov thinks that there's a reason to have to do all of them. So the general practice is to do all the times around the hand like the Arizal, and not like the Shulchan Aruch. So as to minimize the hefsik in between the Levisha of the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. Now it's interesting, Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha followed the Shulchan Aruch, not the Arizal. And he used to go around a few times, and then he would put on the Shal Rosh, and afterwards he'd finish the Shal Yad. But when he was asked by his Talmidim, he told his Talmidim to follow the Arizal.
You say put around a few times, you have to wait until it comes down here. You can't stop anywhere on the arm.
That's our practice, is we don't stop until then. But according to Rav Moshe, you went a few times around and you stopped. It's the difference.
But it's just hanging.
So it hangs, so it'll hang.
But whatever he tied, wound around, stay put.
Yeah, well, that's why, so once you go around a few times, it'll stay put. You don't have to go down further. So he told his Talmidim to follow the general practice. That was his thing, whatever his cheshbonis was. But he held that they should follow the Vesur. The Vesur was the Kol Beis Yisrael, is to follow the Arizal. So that's in terms of the Shal Yad. So that's how we put on the Shal Yad.
I've noticed most people, they tie around, you know, the hand. What I do is I just kind of hold this. I do seven times and I hold it in my hand and put it in my shoulder.
Well, the problem is usually for most people that it's that long, they probably, it's a little hard to, that's number one. There's really two reasons. Number one, it's in the way probably because it's long enough, it just hangs down to the floor usually still. And the second, if you put on tefillin like I put on tefillin, then you have no choice really. Why? Because the way I put on tefillin, I only go six full times around the hand. And I count the half loop at the beginning and half loop at the end is the seventh time. So I have to come till here anyhow, you know, to fulfill that. So I have to go start going around the hand.
But you don't go all the way. I just once around, I tuck it in.
Whatever, it depends how long. I usually go further because it's long.
It's too long.
It's too long. It's in the way. It slaps on the floor and whatever. But you know. Now, that's in terms of the Shal Yad. How about in terms of the Shal Rosh? The Shal Rosh doesn't operate on the same basis as the Shal Yad. So what's the Ksheira? So the Shulchan Aruch writes on the Shal Rosh, before you tighten it. In other words, one puts it on the head, and before you stretch the tzuah down to the side, so it's tightly on, it's still sort of just sitting on the top of one's head, so that one doesn't really fulfill the mitzvah. That's not really a kshartam at that point. So at that point, you can make the bracha, and then you pull the tzuah down to the side to tighten it up. So that's the appropriate time to make the bracha. Before a person is mahadikit. And he says again in this regard that one should not make the bracha on the Shal Rosh while one's still holding it in one's hand. Because that's already two steps removed from the mitzvah. It should already be on one's head, but it's still loose. And after the bracha, to pull it down and to tighten it. There are those, in fact, I think based on Taz, I think, writes to have it extend over the front onto the forehead somewhat, and then make the bracha, and then pull it up. Because even Ad Kedei Kach, the Taz asks the Kash on himself, that it says that it's inappropriate that a person should hang the tefillin by the ritzuah, and the Shal Yad should hang, the bias should hang down. It's considered bizayat tefillin. So how can you put on tefillin in such a way? So he says, the tzarech halavisha, it's mutter. That's what he answers, the Taz. And therefore you're allowed to let it hang a little bit, you know, down in the front, make the bracha, and pull it up. So he had a little bit different derech, how to put it on, than we're talking about. Menachem, he seemed puzzled.
I didn't understand the last
thing. I just said, according to there's a din in the Shulchan Aruch, let's say you want to hang your tefillin on a hook.
Right.
You know, we put them away. So let's say you're not so official, you want to just, you know, hang them up, put away. You hang your jacket up when you come home, you'll hang up your tefillin. So you're allowed to put the bias, If you can put the bias in some type of hook that will hold the bias and the ritzuas can hang down, that's mutter. But suppose you want to take it the other way, the shin, and tie and have it hang down by the ritzuas, so that you're not, that's considered bizoyan atfilin. So the Taz even asks upon himself, how can he say to put on the tulum with the bias hanging down? So it's basically, because it's Tzarech HaLevisha that is not considered, you know, a bizoyer atfilin to handle them in that way.
So when you take a match, you will be holding on to the bias.
So it's to hold the bias. Correct. That's not right. It's not Kovar atfilin.
So you should have the bias and the and the kesher, and then put it on, rather than...
It's not 100% correct to put it on with the bias, you know, hanging, I believe.
Hold on to the bias and let the bias hang like that.
In off-season, like last week, we don't make the brachas anyway. It's still, we don't make the brachas till later on.
Yeah.
So there's no Indian of over lasiyasa.
Yeah.
But there's still an Indian of trying to put on the
Shal Rosh. I would think, I'm not 100% sure, that I mentioned the Shal Shudis, that the halacha is, the Ogan Aram says, that even when you don't make a bracha, you shouldn't be mafsik between the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. You should put the...
I
don't know why, but the Ogan Aram says you should put them on in close proximity to each other. It's also, I remember in the Achrayim and Menachas, I saw it. In the middle of the Pupul Harif to the Perish on the Rosh, also says such a thing, but the Magen Avraham himself adds an interesting caveat, and that is if it's a time that you're not making a bracha, and let's say you come to Yehoshua Rabbah, you should be mafsik and answer Yehoshua Rabbah at such a time, because you know, when you're not making a bracha, there's no real Isra. I guess there's some mitzvah to have them one immediately after the other.
But not a mitzvah.
What?
Not
Amen. I don't know if a regular Amen. I'm not Amen Yeshma Rabba you can answer. That's for sure you can answer. So if you can answer a regular Amen, I'm not sure what the Magen Aram sheet is.
So then when we put on the tefillin again, before, in the middle of davening, we say the bracha, so then we basically lose over Lasiyasin.
Well, it's over Lasiyasin for the rest.
In other words, over Lasiyasin is a continuing.
Yes, that's the whole point. That's
so, since the mitzvah is continuing, even though you've already done.
Yeah, the mic good.
As opposed to that little mitzvah.
Yes.
One time.
Yeah, you can't do it a second time. Yeah.
So when the time of the spun film is earlier, is later, we put a spun on. Is there any movement that we're doing, or just
no? Just to give it a kiss, it is enough.
Itav also, but you don't have to do
itav. No, you don't have to do itav. Yeah.
Likewise with Taz.
Same thing. Yeah. Now, the classical shayla with this was women with adlokas neiros. Because in the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the minig of women is to be makabel Shabbos with adlokas neiros. It's not a din, it's a minig. So if they're going to light and make the bracha, so that's going to be Kabbalah Shabbos. So how can they light the neiros? So what they do is the other way around. Is they light the neiros, and then they bring them, and then they make the bracha. And the bracha is construed as their Kabbalah Shabbos. But it's only a minig of women. It's not the minig of men. So if a man lights the neiros, he can make the bracha and still do malacha afterwards.
That's why they cover their eyes also, huh?
Because they don't want to benefit from it before they make the bracha.
Yeah.
Well. And then there's the whole tiras of yontif, what to do yontif, which way to do it. It's two sheetahs. One is to say that since yontif, you're allowed to light on yontif, so say lahadik nesha shon yontif and then light. And there's a second view that says not to differentiate between Shabbos and yontif and to always light and to make the bracha subsequently. So this is point number one. Okay. Now. That's number one. Number two that I want to talk about. Simon Chav Ches. Halacha is that a person has to be aware that he's wearing tefillin constantly. Right? Tefillin, because they have kedusha, so the Gemara makes a kal v'chayim. The Gemara says that but a kohen gadol, it was halacha of hesach hadas. When he was wearing the tzitz, that a tzitz only had one shem Hashem, it said kodesh l'Hashem. And despite the fact that he only wore one shem Hashem upon himself, he was obligated to make sure that he didn't do a hesach hadas. So al achas kama v'kama, that we who wear the tefillin of the Shem Hashem many times over, have to be careful not to get involved in hesach hadas. So this halacha that we can't have hesach hadas by the tefillin.
What is the definition of
hesach? That's a good question. What hesach hadas means? It's a very broad subject with different shittas. What's generally agreed, what it can't mean, that the person has to be thinking about the tefillin constantly. That it doesn't mean. Because a person has to daven. So how could a person daven, or a person could learn Torah, do whatever according to the din of the Gemara, a person who is Isaac in his business, he also wore tefillin. So obviously his mind is on other things. So, what it clearly does include is that one should not become frivolous when wearing the tefillin. And as the Aruch HaShulchan spells out, the essence of the mood, or the outlook we have to have when we wear tefillin, is one of Yirat Shamayim, an awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we said, who cares where that awareness comes from? The awareness comes from the tefillin. If a person is involved in tefillah and Talmud Torah, so the tefillah and the Talmud Torah is focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that, with the absence of Hesach Hadas, means I'm focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not focused on other things. So if I focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam because of another mitzvah that I'm doing, that's also fine. That's the right frame of mind for a person to be involved in mitzvah tefillah. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in the beginning of Simon Chav Ches, Chayev Odom Mashrish Tefillin B'chol Shah. A person has to kutch the tefillin constantly, that whenever he realizes he's having the tefillin B'chol Shah, Shenisgar Bohem, Chayev L'mashrish. Shelo Yesiach Daito, and when he's davening, he doesn't have to touch them. Now, what is the other requirements? First he should touch the shoyat and the shoros. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Yoymar gushar tom lois ayodecha." Then you mashmish b'shoyat. He should touch the shoyat as we commented. Shiyomar roilat haytovas b'nerecha. You mashmish b'shoros. So that's relatively universal because that's in the Shulchan Aruch. But there are varied minhagim of when to touch the tefillin when you daven. I can't even remember, in all honesty, 100% what my father, Olam HaShalom, taught me. I don't remember 100%. Be'erach, I remember. Approximately. So I remember that about four times, besides Kriyashma, that we kissed the tefillin. We said Vashem Shemayim also, we kissed the tefillin. And by Yismucho Shemayim Besogel Aretz, and both of those in Hodu. And Yismucho Shemayim Besogel Aretz, the reason is Yismucho Shemayim Besogel Aretz is Rosh Tevis Yudke Vavke. And therefore, there were no yet to kiss the tefillin there. By Yismucho Shemayim Besogel Aretz in Yichvoid. And by Pusach Esyadecho must be Elechol Chayrotz. And those four times. But I don't remember 100% for sure whether I learned it afterwards or from my father, Allah B'Shalom, it's about Hashem Shemayim Osa. I don't remember. It's, my Bar Mitzvah was a few years ago. So. I didn't. I was not. Yeah. By Kriya Shema twice, you know, everybody, that's in the Shulchan Aruch. But there were Minhagim that added further times to be aware of the tefillin. And it was these four. Three out of four, I'm quite clear that I learned from my father. Yismucho Shemayim twice, and Paseach Esyadecha, Vasham Shemayim also, I believe so. The truth is, I should ask my brothers, I don't remember. But that's what I'm doing, those four times, and then twice by Ukshartam. Ukshartam and Ukshartam, Oysam Lo Yisal Yedecha. Both times in the first and the second parasha of the tefillin.
Most people aren't aware
of.
Most people are not aware of that. One should touch the tefillin in various places. I've noticed that people do not touch
their tefillin. Okay, so that's why it's one of the reasons I went over this din. This is a din in the Shulchan Aruch. That by two times by Kriya Shema, that one should touch the tefillin. So, this is part of the measures that we take to have an awareness of the tefillin that we shouldn't come to the Dehes HaChadas.
Learned that you're supposed to kiss the
Torah when
you say Ashrei
Paseach Es Yedecha. By Paseach Es Yedecha, you kiss it. Yeah, probably, I guess, the second Ashrei by
Paseach
Es Yedecha, too.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, both. I mentioned that's the fourth one in the beginning of Shachos. By Paseach Es Yedecha. And the reason for Paseach Es Yedecha, it's interesting, because the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is that if one said Paseach Es Yedecha without Kavona, one has to start Ashrei again from that point to go straight to the end. Because that posik is the essence of the Psuka de Zimra. It's the essence of Ashrei. Gemara raised the problem in the first parak in Brochus, why we chose the Ashrei. As Lachar, we could have chosen Mizbah Kuf Lamed Vav, Hoydel Hashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasto. And there it also says, Noisin Lechem L'chol Bosor Kim L'olam Chasto. So why is that different that Paseach Es Yedecha must be L'chol Chai Rotzen? And it's also an extensive praise of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Gemara says that Ashrei has Aleph Beis as well. So one has Aleph Beis and the Pasuk of Paseach Es Yedecha. The Hodu Lashem Kitoiv doesn't have the Aleph Beis, only has Nois and Nechem L'chol Basa. So what's the significance of the Aleph Beis? The significance of the Aleph Beis, or Meir Simcha writes, that the distinction between Teva and Nes. Teva is very orderly. It's yekish. The sun rises, the sun sets. You plant in the fall, the spring, whatever it is, at the beginning of the growing season, in the spring it really starts to come out from the soil in Eretz Yisrael. And then finally it starts to grow, etc. There's a Seder. There's a predictable Seder by which the way the world generally works. You know, you don't have the harvest in December. It's not what it's about. It's a geitnish, that's like. Ness has no rules. It's unyekish. Borot, we had Eish, right? And Mayim together. Eish mislakachas b'teich ha-borot. It defies nature. It doesn't fit in with the rules of nature. Aleph Beis is orderliness. Nature is orderly. As opposed to Derech HaNes. So therefore, that's why Ashrei is another, the fact that it follows the pattern of the Aleph Beis is to celebrate the Derech HaTeva. Now, as the Gemara indicates in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that Psukei Dezimra, the Gemara says that I should have the schus of those that are going rehalo b'chol yent. They complete the halal every day. So the Gemara says it's not true. Ha'im rehalo b'chol yent reizek imachara from the garden. So the Gemara says, it depends. Are we talking about the Hallel HaMitzri. Well, we're talking about the Halal of Psukah Dezimra. The Halal of Psukah Dezimra is Ashrei, the person that's Messiahim the Tillim each day. So we say, that's why we say from Kuf Mem Hei to the end, to say the end of the Tillim. So what's the difference between the two? So the Ksav Sofer writes this, and this is a classic Torah from Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, from the house of Brisk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This was his, you know, take on the Gemara. I presume this is the Brisk take on the Gemara as well, that Halal HaMitzri celebrates Nisan. To celebrate Nisan every day is a mistake. It's a philosophical mistake. Because in effect it says, where do we find the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? In Nisan. That's not the place to look for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Yeah, he's there. But the place to look for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is in the day-to-day, in the nest that takes place every day. The sun rises, the sun sets, the rain falls, the trees absorb the rain, the trees blossom, the trees give fruit, etc. The cycles of nature, there is where we should see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Psukah Dezimra is a celebration of nature, of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam nature, the natural order of the things. And therefore, that's why it has both the Pasuk of Paseach HaSedecha and the Aleph Beis, which celebrate Derech HaTeva. Whereas the Pasuk of Noisen Lechem L'Chabosah doesn't have Aleph Beis. And the truth is, a very close examination of Mizbor Kuf Lamed Vav indicates something very fascinating, which is equally true of Mizbor Kuf Lamed Ei, the Halalukah, which comes right before it. The first half of it celebrates Teva. The second half of it, in both Kuf Lamed Ei and Kuf Lamed Vav, celebrates Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam Ayidei Derech Nes. Kuf Lamed Ei ends with a discussion of Mitzrayim. Kuf Lamed Vav has a surprising ending. It started with Derech HaTeva, the Eibushter made the moon, the sun, etc. Then it talks about the Makas of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And at the end, it comes back again. It's the 26th stanza. So that closes full cycle. When we talk about Derech Nes, what's the tachlis of Derech Nes? The tachlis of Derech Nes, the Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, is that we should come to the realization that everything in the world is a nes. The teva that we see is also a nes. So where's the ultimate place to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Our eyes should be opened enough after we see the Nes that we go back to the Teva and find the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the Teva. So that's Mizbor Kuf Lamed Vav. It starts with Derech HaTeva, it goes to Derech Nes, and it closes Noisen Lechem L'Chol Boso Kili Olam Chastai. If we've seen the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in Nes, then we have to see him with a new intensity, a new perspective, a new depth of encounter. So that's what Gemara suggested, that that pasuk could also be appropriate for Psukah Dezimra, that mizrach, because it ends with Noisen Lechem L'Chol Bosah. That's it. But it doesn't have the Aleph Beis. So, there's Paseach Es Yadecha must be Alachol Chai Rotzen. That's what it's about. That's what we're talking about. The original is the one who sustains us through nature. Who sustains us? We're sustenance. Paseach Es Yadecha must be Alachol Chai Rotzen. So that's the essence. That posik is the central posik of Psukah Dezimra. So that's why we kiss the tefillin when we say that posik. That is a realization of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam we're supposed to have there. So we kiss the tefillin. We say Paseach Es Yadecha, and what do we say? Together we kiss the tefillin. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now, there's a halacha which is, says the following. Tzorach shiyah ha-shochor sheberetzuos v'tzad chutz. The black inside has to be out. V'lo yishapchu, and they should not turn over, bein shal yad, bein shal resh. Neither the shal yad, nor the shal resh. He writes. Midas Chasidus Ulis Anais, it's a Midas Chasidus the first, or Lifnais Pitstoko, or lift a spitzdoka, or to pay the amount, give the amount of money or a day's eating to tzedakah. In the hack, the shalei is half for the mashamakif is a ratio of the kiburis. The kipayd is only on the part that goes around the muscle and goes around the head. Pamachas, a mashakurach, a karkach. It's certainly what hangs down, and surach lahak, but klausuli is half of the shalei ma'ikar a mitzvah. That one doesn't have to worry about it. We come up and we should know a mitzvah. It is a heder mitzvah that it should be nice, roi lahapach, sheyia, ashocha, the tzadchut, safilu bahamayser, even on the rest of the ritual. Now, so the ma'aser that it says that it was a midas chsidus to fast, the Gemara relates, I think Rabbi Chaga, that's his name, in the Gemara in Moed Kotna Dov Chofhei. So he was Maspid Rabba. Said Rabba was a very great deed. Once the Ritzua turned over by him, and he fasted a whole day in penance for the Ritzua turning over. Now the Veld says that even if it turns over, you yotze the mitzvah, except it's a zulzul, it's a chesaron and kavod mitzvah. But I have not found that yet, that one is yotze. I presume that the Veld is right, but I was looking today for a source for what the Veld says that you yotze, and I didn't find it yet. So, I cannot tell you definitively that that's the way it is. And the Achronim that I looked at today, the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't discuss it, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't discuss it, neither the Magen Avraham, the Taz, the Prima Godim, the Gro, none of them discuss what happened, nor the Machzitz HaShekel, if you actually yotze. None of them just talk about the issue altogether. So,
the reason for fasting is unrelated to the fact whether he was yotze or not yotze.
Even if he was yotze, the Veld says, because he wasn't careful about the mitzvah, he was somewhat posheya in the mitzvah. It is a very fascinating story. I believe it was Rav Aaron Belzer, the one that survived the war. I believe he was the one. So he, from his earliest youth, he used to fast incessantly. And his father did not appreciate it. His father wanted him to take better care of his health and to eat more, but satam golash geholfen, you know. He didn't get it, he didn't help. So he was once in a shtetl, and he came over to the rabbi after davening, that he realized that his tefillin, the ritzua, was, you know, turned over. So what should he do? So the rabbi told him, I'll tell you. He says, anyone that asks that shayla to me, I tell them that they should fast for a day. He says, but you enjoy fasting. So he says, your tshuva is you have to eat for 2 days. Now, when we take the tefillin off, no, I want to talk about something else first before talking. There are two minhagim about how to put the tefillin on a tefillin bag. The stam minhag is to put the shel rosh on the right side, and the shel yad on the left side, and the Chofetz Chaim wrote that one should put the shel yad on the right side and the shel rosh on the left side, with the theory that a person that's right-handed, but he puts his right hand in to take it, it'll be easier to take out the shel yad if it's on the right-hand side. Kitzah Hadorim, whatever you do, don't change. That I'll tell you. What do I tell you that? As Chatoah and Imaskir Ayoyim, I decided to follow the Chofetz Chaim and be Mishana for the Derech of my Ovis, and I put the Shel Yad on the right side, which I still do until today. So what do you think happened the first day? The first day I took out the Shel Rosh, you know, first. So Ashrei those that keep the Minhag. What's the Cheshbon? So the Cheshbon to put the Shel Rosh on the right side is partially your right hand is there, and also you're supposed to take it out first, so it should be on the right. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Shel to Shel Yad first. The Shel Yad should be on the right because the person's right hand, that he should reach that, that he's supposed to take that out first. So it should be on the right hand side. That's the first mitzvah that you do. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Cheshbon HaOlam that the world is noyig to put the shalrosh on the right side is because of Milam Bekaidish Rein Moridin. That since he has four batim and it has greater, the shalrosh has greater kedusha. So Amelo, they gave cover to the shalrosh to put it on the right side rather than on the left side. Now there's also a halacha, and there's also a shayla that the yud, that's part of the shell, yad, should be touching the bias. Now, how much does it have to touch the bias? Does it have to touch the detura, meaning the brim that goes around, the rim that goes around the tefillin? Is that what it has to touch, or it has to touch enough if it just touches the bias? Which one? Which one is it? So the world generally assumes that it has to touch the bias itself. It's a very well-known Avni Nezer that the Avni Nezer disagreed, and Avni Nezer said it doesn't have to mamash touch the bias. But the world tries to get it to touch the bias. The truth is, with the size of Ritzubas that they're using, the way they tie it nowadays is a lot easier. It usually tends to pull in tightly enough that it stays near. There are those even that hold that the Inyan, that the Yud shouldn't move away from the bias, is even when you put it away in the Tefillin bag, it should also stay. So if one can get one's tefillin tied in such fashion that the yud of the shel yad stays against the bias, even one's wearing it, is matoiv manoim. It's certainly a good idea.
But when you put it in the case,
it's easier then, because then you could just, you know, you can tie it down with the ritzu. So it's certainly easy to have it. You know.
But the case is between the.
Oh, usually all the case on the shel yad, they cut out the case. On that side. Otherwise, they're because you can't close it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to close it. The knot's in the way. They make a hole over there. For that. There are those also that are noyeg. I mean, there are different varied minhagim in terms of the shape of the knot in the back of the shel rosh. A large part of the world has a four-section knot there. But there was a lot of controversy about this, if one, that's really the right way to do it, or one should have just the three-section knot, so it's a clear-cut dalet. There's no question, l'chayra al-pidin, I'm not saying one is yaitz l'chayra either way, but the to be shaped as the three-section dalet, I think, is more correct l'halocha than the four-section one. But again, I'm not saying either way, you know, one is yaitz l'chayra. Now, because of the fact in the tefillin we have the Shem Hashem in a combination of three aces. We have the two shins on the sides of the shomrish. We have the dalet in the kesher of the shomrish. And the yud in the kesher of the shalyat. So the dalet of the shel Roish has a particular chashivas because it's one of the name, the oisias of Shem Hashem. For that reason, not all, some have the practice that when they wind up the tefillin in the morning, that they put the knots from the shel roish on top of the tefillin. They don't put it underneath because they hold it's improper that the tefillin should rest upon the knot because the knot is one of the oisias of Shem Hashem. So there are those that are noyeg to put it on top. As we know, there are those, in fact, that don't even want to put the ritzuas on the bias, because they say the bias is more kedusha than the ritzuas, and therefore it's inappropriate to wind the ritzuas on the bias. And you see, there are some people, you'll see, that wind it filling up just around the hand, and they leave them separately in the bag. So there's a mocker and din for that. But the Aruch HaShulchan defends our practice, which is the practice of, you know, Kol Beis Yisrael, to put them on the bottom themselves. That's considered, I guess, part of the normal functioning of tefillin. That's the way you normally put tefillin away. So he defends our practice, the Aruch HaShulchan. So a few ha'aras on mitzvah tefillin that we should fill to, since we bother to do the mitzvah every day, we should do it at the highest level possible. Yes, Rach.
You once forgot to put the straps around the neck in the back.
Yaitze. You have to try harder than that not to be yaitzeh.